I'm really honored to have Steve here tonight. Since I was a teenager, visiting the Gloucester Stage Company and involved in a writing group there with Celeste Miller and Ian McCall, I have heard Steve and his work and have listened to him grow and find his voice over the years. And I think he's one of K-Band's hidden gems. He tells stories that not everybody tells and that everybody should hear about growing up, about being part of this community. And I'm really honored that he's here to share his work with us. And I'm glad you're here to listen as well. Steve Helton.
Thank you. Before I get started, I also want to throw out a thank you to the Gloucester Stage Company down the street, because I got to work there for 6 years, and so for me to be a person with special needs and to get to have a job where working around world-class artists and world-class writers in my late 20s, that's a gift in and of itself. That's a gift in and of itself, and you know, and then of course I have to say thank you to Andrew Mulholland and the former owner of the Dog Bar, and to Steve Calloway, the local musician who gave me this microphone in the middle of a musician's open mic night, because he believed that open mic means open mic. So I got to workshop a whole bunch of really good material in front of a lot of different people. And I wrote this stuff so that I wouldn't be the jazz guy that everybody would get up in the middle of this and go get a drink for it. So, you know, I wanted to be a reason that people stayed in the room. So the first piece for the evening is the first part of Building 19. Coffee in hand, she asked of love, past time. Yes, I know what it is, but please don't ask me to explain. She does, anyways, saying, go back, be happy again. She doesn't understand. I'm in a building that comes from 1902. I'm in a room 3 stories up, standing, looking out of a window, 1/4 open, and then looking down below to see. It's 1 block to the symphony, and another 1 to go through the back door to college, and the arena is across the street. It's a place that once opened the doors of perception for all who wanted to see some of just what was inside of them. But here, it's physical therapy, speech therapy, medical, dental, a vision clinic, a resource room for remedial math, a place where 1 + 1 = 2, and then sometimes 3. Reading, writing, arithmetic, and other publications. Reading them while sitting outside of the dungeon with a hall pass in hand to give that someone else will not use. As teachers break the rhyme to this address, I can hear all the drama as someone parks their car on the street below, leaping through the yearbook superlatives. Best artist, most studious, me, most dramatic at stage life. Andrea and me. As love hears the laughter of the super in the staff room, dressed as a drag queen, Dolly Parton walks the halls. Now, class, in your textbook, turn to chapter 766 for a special education. It's the first day of a 2-day test in algebra, and I run a headphone wire down the sleeve of my coat and then turn my hearing aids down low. The music is like honey dripping in my ears. As the teacher says go, a car alarm goes off. I wish car alarms had a way to turn the sound down. And then I do the same to my hearing aids, turning them off so I can keep going. The girl in the class with the blonde hair, Andrea, she is jealous of me. She thinks I can turn my hearing on and off when I want. I smile and keep going. And as the bell rings for lunch, she smiles back at me. I'll see her again this afternoon in English, where I hope I won't have to write for another grade. After the bell rings, the teacher asks this question. If you had 24 hours to spend any way you wanted to, how would you do it? Now, before any of us could answer, he said, write your answer on the paper I gave each of you and start now. Everyone else is writing, and I'm frozen. I look over. Andrea, she stopped writing soon ahead of the others and me. She smiles with simplicity at me, away from all the others' sight, and tells me in her look that it's fine with her if I want to be somewhere else, or if the wish is not for me, but for someone else instead. I wish I had 2 tickets, hotel accommodation, luxury transportation. I wish I had a backstage pass to give her, courtesy of MTV. I wish that she could be around Andrew Ridgely and George Michael, the band known as Wham, one of her favorites, as they're getting ready for a night on stage. I wish that she receives a microphone from George, the guitar from Andrew, and a kiss for her from George to end the evening before we both get ready to come home. Flying free, my pen or pencil will take over a blank page, but I know that tomorrow, no matter what I write down, she will carry the day with her essay. They are shuffled and handed out to be read aloud by the others in class with feedback to follow. I didn't offer much in feedback. She wrote the way she was. If I had 24 hours to spend any way I wanted, she wrote, I would like to meet Duran Duran backstage at Live Aid in Philadelphia and go to work for Band-Aid to help end the famine in Ethiopia. In other words, reach for the fantastical as you take care of the real. Later that week, the seniors invite the juniors to the prom at the Hyatt Regency. In a free period one day, as she sits with her girlfriends, the sofa is filled with music and movie scene magazines being shared with her girlfriends. I asked Andrea to the prom. She says, yes. So now I go to a flower shop with my aunt for her corsage and then to go get my tuxedo for the prom from somewhere else. It comes from an idea in a nondescriptive place with a number on the side of a building in a local shipyard that then travels to another place, a space where the name Surplus makes friends with Salvage in the company of Overstock, all the while performing with the closeouts and the irregulars on a daily basis, where free coffee with fake cream is included with each visit to create a gem. The Hyatt that evening is exquisite. Everyone is in formal wear for the evening. Andrea is beautiful. As I walk in looking like I've been on the Lawrence Welk show, walking into the hotel in a powder blue tuxedo that puts me completely out of style points. But no one cares what I look like. It was time to have a good time. Take the ride on the elevator to the top floor just for the view. Take the ride down to experience a soft landing in water. The food, delicious. Jokes, laughter are shared. The lights are dimmed. Requests are made. The DJ fills the room with the sounds of the day. The teachers, they become your peers. They let you say things you never thought you could. You see them as people now, not as you do in the hall, between classes, on the way to your locker, dodging wheelchairs, crutches, and walkers everywhere to get to your homework that you forget to do, or that your dog ate for dessert after supper last weekend. But then, that evening, it all happens right in front of you. On a break by the stairs in the hall, a turtle moves slowly. As I asked her if I could see her outside of school at all, it was wearing a shell of 6 colors. As she said, Yes. It was driving the drum line. And within that moment, the slow dance song that everyone truly loves comes on. Her crutches fall to the floor. Andrea has me in a tight hug, completely trusting me to hold her up without a warning. And I can't move too much. But I'll smile, because I know she loves me now. Even if I go to a place where people shop for food, furniture, giftware, houseware, clothing, shoes, rugs, mattresses, or anything else that you can think of to insert here, in this space. And yes, it's true, as are all the things that are well past the point of being labeled here that are marked for description. Like the Brat Pack, like the Breakfast Club, but it's no matter to me, as I know she loves me, even if I bought my tuxedo at Building 19. This next piece comes from a collection that I'm hoping to be able to do with Steve Calaway called Every Day is Tuesday. And it's my homage to my days at the dog bar. And this is one of those pieces, and it's called It Will Get Loud. The volume is up. It will get loud. Instinct amplified. A heartbeat alive. Find you entering through a door in the back once more. Upon a step or a move forward, your fingers will take root, take grip. To one note, one word. The tongue speaks, a chord in discord. As the siren calls, is it rap, hip-hop, pop and lock, bubblegum, or rock? This has to be something. It has to be something else. It cannot be a central nervous swerve. Out of sync, the words putting down while turning over the alternate beat. Collides with why. In a hybrid open verse, theater of noise, storyteller prayers. Outside and across all the ringtones in the room. Hand clap out of sync with the metronome. Legs in off step with eyes to see. As all the attractions in the distractions are better left alone. Soon, they disappear. The intake is going out across the lines and through the wall. Here, the volume is now up, and it will get loud. I spent a lot of time traveling about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, trying to get a job out of state. And basically I went around the country for 2 years at over 40 trying to find work. I wanted to get off the island, and so for 2 years I went all over the country, and after 2 years of unemployment and looking for work at over 40, I moved from Gloucester to Rockport. go figure. So I had to spend a lot of time at Port Authority in Times Square, waiting for buses to other places. So this is called 8th and 42nd. Standing in the station here as a bullhorn sounds out all the stops. 8th and 42nd, it's 3 a.m. The air filled with caffeine and sugar white fluorescent lights create the shine of luxury. To a vocal line, a guitar player walks all the way through with a finish, smooth, straight, through, all the way to the soul, as the AI voice sounds out. The bus station delays tone down the volume of the inside mind that is beside the tipping point. The register rings up, making, changing in words and sounds, turning down the volume. It's a charitable contribution on their part that moves through the gourmet experience of light and sound. In Times Square, the Y for the phones, the lo-fi for the ears, with a stop for the words, with a space for the line. To see if we can still watch and wonder at just another time of day. 8:42, 3 a.m., air and caffeine, sugar white fluorescent lights shine this scene. The fantastic that is real. The AI voice sounds out over the key shake, 1 1/2 stride, 1 1/2 of another, a line on the percussive side, down the stairs and through the doors. No worries for anyone next door, above, or on the other side of the floor, bagging the beat between the sidewalk and the street. No clouds in the sky as the wheels spin and the gears turn. The signature for time in this beauty to see. As outside of time, a voice sounds out. The sounds of the underground in four sounds come through as the words here slam the door on the verse that is standing by the rail. Still, watching in wonder in the center of a public transit, away from it all, below the eyes of the sun, is a vision to wrap your eyes all around. It's a type of transit rhyme as the train comes round to take me through to another time that tastes like milk chocolate melting on the tip of your tongue as the world stops spinning for just a few more minutes in time. I wrote this for my family. This is, I wrote this one day listening to Alanis Morissette and Sgt. Pepper's in the same day. And this is what came out. It's called The Mainframe. Kitchen table, blackboard, family, teaching, special education, front page, sports page, Dear Abby every day, wheelchair parking here at home. And from the master bedroom comes the music, traveling through the living room speakers. Cat Stevens, Carol King, Bob Dylan, Tommy Makem, the Clancy Brothers, the Beatles, the Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, drinking and dodge sound through the walls. Peanuts, Snoopy, and Woodstock, telephone calls, home office just down or in Cullinane Hall. The modems in this scene contact the mainframes. Life, living chemistry within astrophysics. It's like Monday, a morning field trip to anywhere but here. Tuesday, bowling with the winning team. Wednesday, it's low tide, as a glass window shatters while someone else falls from a tree. Thursday, overcast, movie theater, love scene, a night trip to the roller coaster and the amusement park screams. Friday, a beautiful beach day, but a drowning scene. A woman hears, graceful, swimming, poetry in motion, blind. She saves me. Saturday, Coca-Cola on the ceiling, multiplication tables and money for the mall, the promise of a house when I'm older, as the sales pack gets left behind on the way to morning appointments with a lawnmower blade. Loose changing, the pain, as I'm paying for the family laundry again. Sunday, Burger King lunch with no salt fries. Seagulls eat healthy with us before they fly away. A one-game playoff is on TV. Teresa joins up with Uncle Sam. Louise left with God for home. And Charlie McCarthy is in Edgar Bergen's traveling case. And Jake gets thrown out at home. And Eddie, he roots for the other team. 14 games have been lost now. Bucky Dent's at bat. A surreal scene. The Yankees win. The Red Sox lose. Hostages are taken. Olympics are boycotted. As Ronald Reagan asked the question, John Lennon is shot. Walter Cronkite hands this news out to the world. And Howard Cosell cries on a Monday night. The Patriots have the ball on the 20 in Miami as a funeral for radio is taking place. It's like the night Chicago died. And now I know that disco is dead. Yeah. I was hoping that the co-writer of this piece would be here, but she is not here. but I couldn't have done it without them. This is a piece called Chuck Taylor and the Magic Makers. I had the privilege of being able to co-write this with Mari Martin, of Mari Martin and the Lucky Boys. I tried to do this piece three quarters complete at the dog bar one night, thinking that if I did it, even though it wasn't finished, I'd be able to ad-lib the lines that weren't there and go home and write them. It didn't work. So I held the piece off to the side, and one day Mari Martin posted on Facebook a piece called The Magic Makers, and I asked her if the words were hers, and she said yes, and I said, can I use them? And she said, because you're the one that's asking, yes you can. And so she said I didn't have to give her writing credit, but I gave her writing credit anyways. So this is called Chuck Taylor and the Magic Makers. Coffee percolates with a beat, out of time, but not out of place. Not here. The door is open. A train of two with deep red hair flows in waves. As they come through, a heartbeat to the words of being here before. The sound to the chairs they're moving across the floor assures me of a world I know. A place the soul can go, paying money as someone else says no. The hips with a beat begin to flow. Step off the subway inside a billboard, a fashion appeal that exclaims creating shoes for sneakers that are now back in vogue. For the Magic Makers, fascinating boombox speakers for those, the free thinkers, the deep reachers. A beat comes through the cardboard as the box holds on to the old sound of sweet hip-hop. That he's sitting on the concrete and in the soles of their shoes. Meet the badass freaks that move to the sound of Paid the Toll in full. So you wouldn't have to. The Magic Makers. With a word on paper, a bass with a chair, a drummer, six strings, a coffee cup, or a pleasant tea, an acoustic care. From the Magic Makers, the ones who walk the fence between the worlds, just past the finish line. The ones who hold the hand of the dying, even though they are scared. In this marathon, it does not end for them. Or for the Magic Makers, the ones who walk with purpose, even if they don't know where they're going, over and over again. It's like a domino fall through to a steady walk on the wire. Or of the mainstream and the side street, walking on these boards. The Magic Maker, with the words, they are always moving and changing. This feeling is fleeting. Here, as the wheels spin, the gears ground on, a new balance to choose to react or respond, to respond or react, to the guitarist, next to them, on the ride, at last. And the black night hourglass, wearing the Chuck Taylors, who flies past, in search of a word, with the Magic Makers, that ends with this. Thank you for bringing color to our world. To the Magic Makers, thank you for bringing life and love and a different way of being to our world. To the Magic Makers, thank you. Before I move into the second half of this, this is something that I wrote for Every Day is Tuesday. Basically, I didn't get to go to the dog bar for the last night that it was open. So I made up this idea of what I thought the perfect closing night at the dog bar should have been like. And it's called The Last Days of Liquid Courage. Walking through the door and then down the stairs, looking over the shoulder of another one on the last step, the mates and the mannequins make a stop to see the words before they close the door. It's the last day to live. Underneath the lights, in gourmet luxury, at the last rites of liquid courage. With a rock and roll sense of taste, the sound is pouring throughout, with strings, bass, and drums in place. The players watch in wonder as a voice howls for the moonlight. It's a mad realm, the surreal, the fantastical, and a fine dining room as everyone else sounds out the bell of gratuity and a howl all around before the last call. It's the last day here for liquid courage, and the last day the world will stop spinning for 3 minutes at a time. Okay, the second half of this starts out with a part of Building 19 that I rarely ever do. In part because it was really hard to put together. The first part and the third part were, by comparison, much easier to do. This was quite difficult. And to thank the Gloucester Writers Center for this particular evening, I modified one section of this piece so that I could say thank you to Vincent. So, Building 19, Part 2, Gloucester Writers Center Edition. And this picks up where the conversation in the first piece kind of leaves off. Go back. Be happy again. She doesn't understand. A beautiful day in May on the common, getting ready to walk outside through the doors that I didn't paint in. Good news, bad news first. Going to college, you'll forget all about me, Andrea says, sitting there with her glasses on clear. It doesn't need to be, that she is leaving, as she hands my dreams to me. If theater is what you want to do, then do it. The happiness of your heart is what matters, not what others may think of you. If theater is what you want to do, then do it. The ball is in your court. Take it and run. Walking papers in hand, dreams in heart, and a head hanging down, hurt in the halls, I deliver the best speech of an educator's career, even though I cannot see the forgiveness I've been given. Too clear from up here, even with sincere apologies already made. And today, the ball rolls through Bill Buckner's legs, and the Red Sox lose the World Series. But still, he speaks at the parade for 750,000 people. Imagine if we win it. What then? Go back. Be happy again. I promise to talk, to take the train. As the door opens, after I knock, a beautiful dust mop sits just inside the door. I walk in. It's as though I never left. It doesn't rain. I tell her of the bus ride, and she understands. She knows that she is special. My heart speaks without impediment, choosing not to be a stoic. And so does hers, even as she asks this question. Why did we ever split up? It's clear that my happiness is her happiness, as once again, the words said on the common ring through my ears clear here. She says, to say thank you. I never thought I would talk with you again. Thank you. Morning paper, one-page ad, record store, a Duran Duran autograph signing, a band she loves, 7 hours in the rain outside Auditorium Station, 30 feet from the door. Blackout. Fans pass out. All around, insanity ensues. Bedlam I help to create. The doorman then sees her on crutches and lets her in with us, the last ones through. The look on her face, the feeling in my heart that day, or the day that she was there, as someone else was cutting my hair at her home before a wedding that Andrea had invited me to attend is something I can never explain to you. She was right. The love was true. Happiness she wanted for me and you. At Christmas, she takes my hand, asking if I'd like a gift. Pain I feel because I want what I cannot have. Head down, the silver lining is gone. I cannot replace the grace of her place or that day. But I'll ask God for it anyways. Days later, Lansdowne Street, a date for her and me, well-dressed, suit, tie, shoes, with wingtips. And inside, there's more. Take a look around. Every sound here is clear through. Colors pulsating, music moves. Old and new. The whole place is foreplay for some before the clock will strike two. The DJ knows. The one you are with, she is the show. Love, she knows. And still, she's with you. Just you. As you go home together, your eyes open wide. The possibilities abound beyond the sky. Then you cry after the first full kiss. This isn't it, she says. How do I sleep when there's nothing I can say? The following morning, I awake to a smile and care with me on a train ride that only goes part way. And then my heart shatters because I have to go home. I thought I was finally free. Stranded one evening unexpectedly by someone who had promised us a ride back to Boston in exchange for taking the bus out to Worcester for a concert. I knocked on my friend's door. Someone answered and let me in. I slowly began to explain that I got Andrea home on the midnight bus, but as for me, I can't say this then. I've missed the last train and its night show. It was now 2 a.m. Ride arranged, I wake up at home hours later. Before finally feeling sane, I called to say thank you. She says that she wished she had been woken up. She didn't even know that I was there. No one said anything. All the same, she is glad that I'm safe and sound. Coffee with milk and sugar, phone call. Humor comes around again. In a class and style all its own. And no one could ever copy it. Her house looked great, even at 2 a.m. Later, she said, the first person you kiss is the one you think you'll be with forever. But it's not always true. There's someone else I talk to. It's Valentine's Day. So what will you do? You saved me from suicide. So what can I do but let you go? Because I love you too. Young, feeling old, my own pain sets in. God accepts me as I am. No money or fancy clothes required. He loves me all the same. I wish others could. He sent her a smile and blocked the doorway out for me. The one that marked the way out, and she wouldn't let me. I should have said, please, let me out, but I knew that you wouldn't, as you knew where I needed to be. I told her all about you. She said to say thank you. She wanted to meet you. She said she wanted my happiness most, even if it meant that I loved you. She heard you and wondered why. She had said goodbye, but then she kissed me before she was leaving. And now, out of nowhere, this moment begins. A car ride for an hour and change in time, where you are asked repeatedly to change your eventual destination, becomes now here. As a conductor, asked me more than once during an hour and change train ride home after a show, are you sure you do not want to get off the train at the next stop? Panning, looking to see, looking beyond everyone and everything, looking for a walkway or even for a stairway that will lead me to a square for a moment, to forgive someone and then many others the same way as before.
It's a portal for an apology, with a bridge that leads you to a circle of 22 lamplights lit with the reflection of 19 diamonds. As I walk past St. Paul's Cathedral, looking down at the cobblestones, and then to my right, I see an apology that I can't accept. It's an unusual offer that he's made after the passage of time pauses, and you come to see how someone could write, "The air is an organic farm for the practitioners of paradise," and experience a handshake with the electric while waiting for another train ride as a pair of sneakers comes into view. The sunlight gives its warmth to you and a way to go forward. They are moving in the shade of powder blue. Here with a ticket in hand that is marked for the last station stop, the journey to peace and comfort towards home and love. This is called More Than You Choose. Basically, I wrote this for two reasons. I have a friend who one day criticized me for saying that I had done all this different stuff in my life. And she always said, "You know, you're always saying that you're more than you actually are." And I said, "Excuse me." And they wouldn't believe me until I actually showed them my resume. And when they saw all the work that I did at the Gloucester Stage Company, I said, "You know, I didn't do all that work on somebody else's sympathy ticket." And then they left me alone after that. And I also know people who honestly believe that every conversation is a job interview. And I don't necessarily see life as a job. It's supposed to be a miracle. So what I decided to do is flip the whole interview process upside down. And I wrote More Than You Choose. Stepping in from the outside, in a moment from somewhere, the questions begin. Is it a face? Is it a gang? What you said you wanted to see. As four wheels meet the road, walking in the rhythm of 1 1/2 step time with spasticity and experience. Looking here, me, at success, but even if it's not, all the same, the sound all around me tells me, with the coffee by my left hand, that I am in the right place to put all this down. Thoughts to word, pen to paper with ink, and two pages left to right, blank, to walk the journey back from mistakes in this story called life to this. This right here, the place where nowhere becomes two by separation to equal now here instead of still there. Right in front of me, it's all down to, all out of this, comes what you call me. And then there is this. Is what you see in the mirror you? Inside the ether of creativity lives expression with no rules set. But for the ones you create. But we don't know why you are still here. Well, this, my friend, is an answer. The first step on the ladder to a view of the world through and past the looking glass. What does it matter what I look like? Knowing that there are no wrong directions or wrong answers to the questions here. Are you a tribute to, or are you the real thing? Are you living in and through the words? Are they the words for living, or just part and parcel of being in the space between thinking and speaking, whatever they are. There will be a handful of pages in a notebook left here for me to write in. It's a way to see beyond the antiques of all this and the motif. All the people who said you would not make it to see the dream come true because they didn't want you to. It's all before you turn on the outlet and turn everything on. In mono or stereo, it's all here. The first record someone gave you. It's all there. It's the clamshell with a butterfly necklace to express love to her. That goes with the question, why did I leave you? It's the first song you learn to play or sing along to without mistakes. In the microphone, it amplifies the soul of you. Or while listening to the ball game with a cackle of electricity from an old radio or a TV set with a taste of Sunday coffee and tea and pastry, and the stereo with the old cereals on vinyl that were once television on the radio. The hallway conversation with somebody who knows, like the others do, what it means to forgive so you can live. It's in the expectations that other people have for you that they should not have for you. This is the starting place for this and any conversation. It's the people who call you an equal and apologize to you in a phone call that takes place out of the blue. It's in the search for the words and the music and all the sounds that resonate within and create the answers to all of this. It's in the focus you put on everyday people who make the magic happen right in front of you. It's the experience of when within this, the equation of the universe, who and what you love, comes out to you, you. Because expressing this here brings its own release to you. And then they feel, and they will know you have lived. You and they have been here on a miracle called Earth, which is not infinite. Now, I know you know this, so go there anyways. Live and let live generously, because what is here is not all that is on offer to us. So now go. After this, molecules will be all that will be left of this and us. The sun says, so now go to the ether of creativity and unwrap the gift. Take it out of the box and show me and then show them what's inside you. This is, I have a collection at home called, It Is What It Is. And basically, I have a whole collection of pieces that I didn't know what to do with. I didn't want to get rid of them. And so I said, well, it is what it is. And so that became the title for the whole thing. This is from that collection, and it's called Dream, Design, Create. Now here, looking at the road ahead, before taking the summer nightlight into another room in consideration of a suggestion of writing into time the blue sky and the morning sun of all that love without expectation can be. Dream of being in the pocket with this life with a pen and some paper in hand. It's all right as the extractor spins onto all the ways people see you as they and the clothes they wear, their threads tumble onto a loose spin that is you as you are now. Looking for the words, for what to give before the asking. Because as you already know, living, moving inside the clock, the second hand moves the minutes, seeing time moving through and within the labyrinth. It's in all the ideas someone left behind for you on their way to missing out on all the pages of rules and, of course, all the pages of regulations for being here. So, dream on this line and then past that. And then it's on to what to design. In the years of time and in all the ways to create, or even how to receive the gift of something that is already in hand, called life, outside of your mind and time. Trip back to the dog bar again. I would recommend that you watch a documentary called It Might Get Loud with Jack White, The Edge, and Jimmy Page. Because Jack White is actually a really fascinating guy when you get to hear him say what he says about music and about life. And the idea of him being in the same room as The Edge and Jimmy Page is quite a trip to watch. But there's a reason why he's there. And this is to thank him for making it that far. Caught Jack White was right. Sitting outside the scenery of a life spent watching people passing through, wishing the shift in thought, feeling moves towards actions, reactions to all the moving about, smiling and walking on or out, and always leaving too soon. What you didn't see before we arrived here is always in motion, within and without you. One thing becomes clear. Here, the voice you speak with can be your voice that you use every day, in print, in plays, in words, and music. Here, there, anywhere, and everywhere, on any given day. Because there are 325 million people who live here, and all their stories are told in all kinds of different ways. And with the sound and light turned on, you can see that there's no right or wrong answer here. There's only the answer that you present to the equation of the universe. So, until we get more to work with, we are supposed to tell 100 common stories between us all. This is what we use. You can create your own language, with or without grammar or punctuation, with or without stage directions, if you like, given circumstances and all. Jack White was right. It makes no matter to the voice that speaks. You can express anything as the insides come to life, going from mundane to larger than life on the other side of the fourth wall. Jack White was right. Independent or commercial, we're supposed to become part of this community of storytellers. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is how we get to live on. This is a thank you to all those great guitar players that live on this island. Because I not only get to be a fan of them, I also get to be a friend. It's called No Original Thought Required. Coming into the room with the feeling of treading water in the deep end and moving through the aisles and past the chairs with the question, will you make it? Moving underneath the safety of the lights, the feeling now is waist high at the edge of the stage, front of the room. Or the question is, will you not? And still be waiting afterwards, always with your ticket in hand under a streetlight late at night for the autograph by the backstage door? The question opens a channel into the common and then into the extraordinary, where everything here is said in a knowing glance that says it's safe to move and speak, to tell the stories that wrote what they now see within all is a monologue and a dialogue at once. The words of others, or the soul that is their own, of what is and what could be, speaking of love, to this, with and through more than words, with light and shade, taking the flow of sound for the answer to the question, did you write it, or did it write you? Live and alive, with three chords, original thought is not required. Thanks to the founders, the shapers, the movers, the shakers, the shapeshifters, along with all the others. Thanks to them, music and the spoken word will not be dead. Now I get to tell the story, another part of how I got here. When I went to work for the hospital, I was 27 years old. And I didn't know that within a month of working at Addison Gilbert, I was going to land a job at the Gloucester Stage Company. And I didn't know that within a year of that, I was going to land a column in the Gloucester Daily Times. And so because of those three things and the commitment that all of those institutions and the people who ran them made to me, I've gotten to make this island my home for 30 years. And so this is my way of saying thank you to all of them, called Microphone in Hand. Check one, check two. Check the check for me, please. Electricity here will meet with amplification, light and shade. Next to, above, onto this. Public dialogue. People here. Racism, prejudice are in the room, subtle to blatant. Seeing and hearing it all, quietly, I speak. Left, to die, let live. Can't, learn it all. Wait, maybe he can. Kept separate, out of district, a line item in a budget. To be seen and not heard, oh, he won't amount to anything much. Can't move much, see much, hear much, or speak, or think, much less ever go to Harvard. Maybe a workshop setting. At best, the position is just a made-up one, with nothing to do. You see, they gave up on me before I got here. Check one, check two, check the check for me, please. On stage, in this living room, with a flip of a switch, a turn of a knob, the faders move, a foot pedal press, all the way to the floor, a voice incarnate speaks. And with all the instruments and the currents that flow, the mind speaks here to a body and soul exercise in orientation. It's a conversation that accompanies this life. One day, while working at a local hospital, I followed the directions to a theater. Graciously, the publicist lets me in. Moments later, the managing director appears. Long hair, a mess, beard, cigarette, two. T-shirt, spring, shorts, with a brand name across the T-shirt that I cannot make out. And I think, are you sure this is the boss? Check one, check two. Electricity meets amplification. Here, at an open mic, on any given Tuesday night, step across this line for 20 minutes in time to see me corrected by a reader. Hand in hand with community outreach, it's an experience that comes complete with all the thoughts and emotions that go with word and movement, that couple with the words in the most precious gift. With a microphone in hand, the newsroom moves to hear on stage. The currents flow through the mind into a body and soul that creates a co-created position within a non-profit ticketing gift. The wires are live, the blood flows, the feelings show. Thoughts make words move into an editorial request to speak a soul prayer for those I know, or a guest column in reaction and response to the headlines of life experience, returning again and again
here. You see, I learned to write, but not in school or college. My teachers were newspaper editors and journalists. One wrote well, one wrote real, one wrote with diplomatic eloquence. And in the end, I learned that only one compliment from anyone mattered toward what I wrote. I do not agree with what you wrote, but I like the way you write. That was the definition of success. I got that compliment all the time. So, I am a success. Microphone in hand, the heart beats as the words speak. In stereo, a body in tune to freedom from isolation. To the words that are taken from scripted pages onto wooden stages to you, and with you, sharing a point of view or even two. Created in and out of the necessity of the soul, living at the edge of no return, and in a place that is both in and out of tune. Looking back towards my boss, he tells me he needs a soundboard operator with reel-to-reel experience who can climb a ladder 4 feet high and who will work for free. It's a celebration of life as he hands me an Arthur Miller manuscript into my hands. Here, with everyone in common, or not, where there is no such thing as original thought, in an empty backstage or workshop room. How'd I get here? Socially misfit, I tell him, I'll be a little late for work every day. Understandingly, he says, it's okay. Where you work, they have one thing we don't have here, a payroll. Check one, check two. As the brooms move across the kitchen and the hospital dish room floor. Check one, check two, holding the ladders of late night and handing up the lights. Check one, check two, with light and shade on stage that shines upon a column with a list of names in your local newspaper. Clarence Birdeye, John Hayes Hammond Jr. Check one, check two. Israel Horovitz, David Alfer, Charles Olson. Check one, check two. Check the light and soundboard technique. Stephen Callaghan, me, merging into an expression and performance here. A cerebral palsy transplant is placed on the same list. Extra, extra, read all about it. Deaf soundboard operator at the stage company does cues by reading lips and vibrations. Extra. Check one, check two. We'll see you Sunday. The cues will be ready for you. See you when we get here. With a microphone in hand, I'm speaking with you and two another time. I was part of a company of creative misfits. A group of people who walked in off the street and into this, an internationally known theater, looking for a job or for something to do or to get someone out of their house for a few hours a day. I walked into the American dream and found myself backstage with people from different parts of the United States of America and then the world. We were a rock and roll band, live and loud. In full color. It was life without a filter, allowed always and expected to be ourselves in every way. We did our job well. We were good. We still are. Very good, in fact. We could do it all over again and do it better than anyone could ever imagine. Now, in and out of necessity, I know you will ask, how do I know this? Microphone in hand says, the awards and the words in them are there on the wall, as well as the one column that is on the wall of the publisher for all the world to see. With a microphone in hand, art speaks to life, and life speaks to art. Everyone here knows tonight the soul is speaking for its supper here. I grew up in a house, I wrote this for my dad. My mother was a chemistry major from Boston University. My father studied astrophysics at Harvard. And when I wrote Something for the Martians to Read When You Get Here, which is what some of these pieces are from, it seemed like my mother got all the credit. And so I called it Something for the Martians to Read When They Get Here for him, so that, because without him, a lot of things wouldn't, everything wouldn't be possible. And so as I got close to finishing Martians last year, this piece showed up without a warning. I had the title, I just didn't have the piece, and one day the rest of it showed up. And this is called Standing in the Checkout Line. Passing a stranger on the way now to the station, hearing here or there enough to say hello, but not all that you wish you could, on a night that flashes lightning without the sound that you wait for, as a sweet voice is speaking of joy and peace, thanking God and Jesus for the change in the weather, and the Holy Spirit for the grace that goes with everything else that is moving to another moment, ascending the concrete to see another waiting for the leaving, waiting for the train to arrive. And then there is what is not always seen or heard, what is invisible, as another asked for another bag to carry their things in, a basic need speaks, a rhythm or a beat that you can hear or feel to go with the shifting plates underneath the street and your feet, with electricity and everything else that you cannot see, and all the words you cannot hear or understand that are being exchanged. It happens from moment to moment. Here, now, this becomes visible as you see what many may not, that Christianity is a mystical experience. It is seen in the shopping cart from the market that has been left behind, as you see paper with fine print at your feet, a contract at your feet that someone threw on the ground, discarded here by somebody in a limited space where religion or ego tries to move in, with paper refuse in and about, and no thought to use a battle for the newspapers and the thumb through pages of magazines and emotion, or science or love, without care and concern for reason that we did not think of being to begin with. Will it be then? In a place of what you see is what you will get. Here, it is, though not just yet. There is a place for all of this logic, but not here or now, or even where you really are. On a planet in an orbit of 23 degrees around a flaming sun. As you take the handle of the card into the grip of your fingers, it's beside the moon. She moves the seas in a shade of ocean blue. The plastic of the handle, strangely, it fits you as gravity holds you in your shoes. You begin to move, and with just enough light to see, it's not all about you. Rather, It's all molecules. As you move about without any thought, in what is only mere minutes of where you are and have always been, looking into the storefront windows, the streetlights give some sight at all the checkout lines. As the telescopes let you see without taking flight, they're all closed now and empty. They take you all the way to the International Space Station or some other satellite. Strangely enough, it's all the way it should be. Underneath this light, leaving here, the cart inside of another, forgotten one, spirituality steps in. You can see where you were and where you are. And then it's on to the possibilities, as the moon is far from here, and yet you can get there from here still. Now, it's too vast to take comfort in the thought of rocket science or the equation and the odds that create life of many millions to one. Yet you and the cosmos are in synchronicity, a rhythm, a beat, a shifting plate, the electricity that you cannot see, and all of the elements are here. They always meet at the periodic table. It all fits together as you breathe without any reservation, because you know that most are not taught to see or think of life in terms of chemistry and astrophysics. As its light takes you inside of space on the walk back to a previous place that you were just visiting, in the wait in line, breathing, and in the taking and the leaving herein, moving. The wishing without moving remains still, perfectly imperfect, and for the moment you close your eyes in space to look around and then to look inside of you for the fear to elsewhere that has not appeared yet. Still, she stays alive. The moon whispers to you to walk safely towards your dreams, showing you a night that is filled with stars. From here to there. But for a moment, close your eyes in space, and all you can see inside and inside of you and in all the days to come, that will be infinite. And last, but certainly not least, the last part of Building 19. The only time I ever would do this at the dog bar was around the anniversary of Live Aid. That was the only time I was ever given more than 20 minutes for a set. And this piece is why. It's called Building 19, Part 3. Go back, be happy again. Take a look around. See, when I'm here during the day, we go out together, my mom and shop. Or she'd shop, and I'd go along for the walk. I have to watch her. She's one of Jerry's kids, my sister, my brother, me too. She's in a wheelchair, and I'm helping her ride the sidewalk and the street against the traffic with no need to run away to anywhere, as the circus walks by me in droves of people, dressed in everything you can imagine, producing a state of complete celebration. Love without borders, elevation, without distance or time, moonlighting through a journey of love, all hours within. Mardi Gras, carnival scene, Vixen, A House, the Pied Piper, the boat slip, solid gold tea, both old and new, as the rainbow in Provincetown comes into view. Inside a wooden floor, a speaker up there above my head, or on the floor by the sliding door, a subwoofer here meets my waist, a railing there for your drinks and more. So, take one step down. Go inside the pit. Let your insides go free. Hand in hand along the railing, dancing outside or in for tea this afternoon. A celebration in rotation. Encore here. A joyous musical seduction in vertical humanity, sexuality. Out or in, or otherwise, just be human. As the Pied Piper spins, love and euphoria here from Memorial Day through Labor Day and the last dance of summer. Now, I don't feel out of place here. The DJ knows she is the show. My sister and I, we go out. She runs errands. I find a payphone. I look around. I hit the coin return lever, and quarters pour out into my hands. I call Andrea. She is there. She answers the phone. I tell her that I cannot come to see her just yet, as my mother is in the hospital. Understanding the situation, my sister obliges me, as she took her time with doing different things, and we talk forever, all on someone else's quarters. Now, I told her I would be there in July. I'd asked my uncle for an advance on my allowance. $24 would get me there, and I'd still have some money to spend on us. It was easy to deal with the living version of St. Francis of Assisi and keep a promise to him. I made a gentleman's agreement. I was one there the whole day through. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, went out for lunch, and then for shopping, before a ride around the back shore. I saw a good harbor beach, and I knew. I knew where I wanted to be. I knew where I could be free. It was a Tuesday. Mom was still in the hospital. The world was turning towards Andrea and me and asking us to care, to dare to care, to imagine peace, and then to feel for and feed the world hungry. On a Saturday in July, the power of music television is affirmed as Bob Geldof sings out loud for the world to hear about how and why he does not like Mondays and dares us to care about one beautiful transcendental idea. Ozzy Osbourne looks like a bloated Elvis. Madonna sweats through the heat. Freddie Mercury is queen for a day. And as Robert plants the seeds of hope on the way to the stairway, $100 million is raised. And all I can see and feel and hear coming through the television tells me to say this to you now. Please remember this day all of your lives. It's important. Remember the day you wanted to help. Remember the bands and the crews who did it. The professionals who made it an extraordinary technological feat. Remember the dying who were allowed to live. Remember the day you die. There is someone alive in Africa because one day you watched a pop concert. Remember your tears. Remember your joy. Remember the love. Remember on that day, for once in our bloody lives, we won. Remember the dying goes on. And remember so that as time passes, you can tell others. It's possible. I know. What a day. What a lovely day. Bob Geldof, July, 1985. And today, I can see, hear, and feel the joy all around me. That is the joy of the color of life. My mother is home from the hospital, and after a moment, there comes the mental reason of an imaginary glass towards the ceiling. In the here and the now, from building 19, of Chateau de Thibault. It's a toast to be shared with those I know. here and in heaven. She is home from the hospital a few days early, and she hates MTV. Yet, my mother understands, and she lets me have the TV for the day. It is a lovely day, indeed.